Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're really plunging into something significant in cybersecurity. It's sent some serious ripples across the healthcare industry. We're talking about a huge data breach. It recently hit McLaren Healthcare, a major organization, and it's affected hundreds of thousands of people right across the U.S. So our mission here in this deep dive is really to unpack all the details of this incident. I mean, it ended up compromising the personal information of, get this, 743,131 individuals. That's a staggering number. We're going to pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge, the key insights from the sources we've looked at. Think of it as your shortcut to getting really informed about what went down, why it matters, and, you know, the bigger picture for healthcare cybersecurity. Let's get into it. Okay, so McLaren Healthcare, just for context, they're a big player headquartered out in Grand Blanc, Michigan. When you hear about a data breach this big, the first thing everyone wants to know is, well, what exactly happened?
Yeah, and what's really critical here is understanding the core event. Basically, external attackers, hackers, they managed to get inside McLaren Healthcare systems. And this wasn't, you know, simple phishing email someone clicked. It seems like it was pretty sophisticated hacking. The sheer number of people affected, that 743,131 number nationwide, it really puts this up there as one of the most significant healthcare data breaches we've seen lately.
That number, over 740,000, it's just hard to wrap your head around. But what really makes you pause, and what I think you listening really need to grasp, is the timeline. The sequence of events here, it reveals some, let's say, critical details, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So picture this. The breach itself, the intrusion, it started on July 17th, 2024. But McLaren didn't actually detect this intrusion until August 5th, 2024. That's a 19-day gap. 19 days where attackers are potentially inside their systems completely undetected, almost 3 weeks. And that window, that 19-day detection gap, it's not just a statistic. It's a, well, a significant security oversight, really.
Yeah. 'Cause,
you know, cyber criminals can pull out mass amounts of data in just hours, never mind days or weeks. That kind of delay, it just ramps up the potential damage exponentially, makes recovery way harder, way more costly.
Right. 19 days undetected. And unfortunately, the delays didn't end there. What's perhaps even more concerning is how long it took for the people actually affected, the patients, to even find out. Can you walk us through that notification timeline? What does that tell us?
Yeah, this part is pretty striking, and it raises big questions about transparency, you know, and industry standards. McLaren Healthcare sent out the written notifications to the affected individuals on June 20th, 2025. Just think about that for a second. That's nearly 11 months after the breach started and a full 10 months after they discovered it. Now, compare that to industry best practices. Usually the expectation, sometimes legally mandated, is notification within maybe 30, perhaps 60 days of discovering a breach. So 10 months, it's way beyond that. Now, the sources do suggest possible reasons, you know, maybe a really complex forensic investigation, legal reviews, coordinating with law enforcement, maybe technical hurdles. But still, it's an incredibly long time for people's sensitive data to be floating around out there without them even knowing it's compromised.
It really is. And this brings it right back to you, the listener. When I see those dates almost a year between the breach and finding out, my first thought is, what could someone do with my information in all that time? What are the real-world consequences for people when there's such a massive gap between the theft, the discovery, and finally, you know, getting that letter in the mail?
That gap is exactly the issue. It dramatically increases the risk. So the crucial question becomes, what kind of information, what sensitive data actually got compromised? Well, the notification mentioned names and other personal identifiers, combined with additional sensitive data elements. Now, in healthcare, that usually means a whole mix of really valuable stuff. We're talking full names, contact info, like addresses, phone numbers, also social security numbers, medical record numbers, health insurance information, dates of birth, and potentially even protected health information, PHI. That's the really sensitive stuff about your actual health, treatments, diagnoses. When you combine those identifiers with healthcare data, it creates, well, significant and potentially long-lasting risks. People affected are at a much higher risk for identity theft, financial fraud, maybe even medical identity theft. And the fact this data was exposed for so long before anyone was told, that makes those risks particularly sharp. Criminals had a huge head start to misuse it.
And like you said, it wasn't just Michigan. This spread nationwide. The source material even points out specific smaller numbers in other states, like 25 people in Maine were notified. Gives you a sense of how wide this cast its net.
Right. Now, to be fair, McLaren Healthcare did respond by offering identity protection services to everyone affected. They partnered with a company called IDX, offering 12 months of complimentary identity monitoring and protection.
Okay, so they offered the monitoring. That sounds like a standard step, I guess.
Right.
But given everything we've just talked about, the sheer scale, the 19-day detection gap, that 10-month notification delay, does that feel, well, truly sufficient? Does just ticking the identity protection offered box really balance out that kind of exposure and delay?
That's a really important nuanced point. On one hand, offering those services shows they're, you know, following the sort of standard playbook for breach response in healthcare. It shows adherence to industry norms. But on the other hand, yes, cybersecurity professionals and probably affected individuals too might absolutely question whether a 12 months of monitoring really makes up for that incredibly long exposure period and the very late notice. It kind of highlights a potential disconnect between what's considered standard procedure and what might actually be needed to properly mitigate the harm after such a prolonged incident.
That makes total sense. So let's zoom out a bit then. Thinking about the bigger picture, why does the healthcare sector seem to be such a constant target? What makes these organizations uniquely vulnerable time and time again?
It's really a combination of factors, a bit of a perfect storm, you could say. First, healthcare organizations often struggle with legacy systems. Think older software, older hardware, stuff that wasn't built with today's cyber threats in mind. Harder to patch, harder to secure. Second, they run these huge, incredibly complex networks connecting hospitals, clinics, labs, you name it. Lots of entry points.
Really?
Third, the data itself. It's incredibly valuable on the dark web. A full medical record fetches way more than just a credit card number because it can be used for so many types of fraud. That attracts sophisticated criminals. Fourth, sometimes the urgent need for patient care, operational demands, can clash with implementing the strictest security measures. You need quick access, sometimes security adds friction. And finally, let's be honest, cybersecurity budgets in healthcare haven't always kept pace with the level of threat they face. It's often stretched thin relative to other IT priorities.
Yeah, you put it all together and it becomes pretty clear. This McLaren incident, it really just exemplifies that ongoing vulnerability, doesn't it? These sophisticated attacks keep happening.
Exactly. And an incident like this triggers a whole cascade of regulatory stuff. You've got IPA, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, with its strict breach notification rules. You've got state-level privacy laws, which can vary. Then there's the potential for investigations by the Office for Civil Rights, the OCR. They're the ones who enforce IPA. That can lead to hefty fines, corrective action plans, and state regulators, like Maine's Attorney General Office mentioned in the source, they actively track these breaches, too. It's on their radar.
Okay, so with all that in mind, regulations, vulnerabilities, this raises a really important question. What are the critical lessons here? What can other healthcare organizations, and frankly, you listening, as someone whose data is out there, what can we all take away from this specific breach?
I think the McLaren breach offers some really stark lessons, actually. First, that 3-week detection gap. It screams for the need for better, enhanced monitoring. We're talking advanced threat detection tools, continuous 247 surveillance capabilities. You need to spot intrusions faster. Second, that extended notification timeline. That really underscores how crucial it is to have a well-oiled incident response plan. And that plan needs to include clear, fast communication protocols, not just internally, but for notifying affected individuals promptly. Third, it highlights third-party risk. Organizations don't operate in a vacuum. They need to seriously evaluate and manage the security posture of all their vendors and partners. A breach through a third party is still your breach. And finally, never underestimate the human element. Employee training is absolutely vital. Making sure staff can spot phishing, understand security policies, that's a key layer of defense. So moving forward, where should organizations be investing? Well, definitely in advanced threat and response, regular security checkups like penetration testing, developing and importantly, testing comprehensive incident response plans, robust employee cybersecurity training, and strong frameworks for managing third-party risk. It's about building resilience, multiple layers, not just hoping one wall holds.
So ultimately, the McLaren breach really stands as, well, a stark reminder. A wake-up call, maybe. It shows that even large established healthcare systems, ones you'd assume have strong security, are still very much vulnerable to these sophisticated attacks.
Absolutely. And as healthcare just keeps digitizing more and more electronic records, telehealth, interconnected devices, cybersecurity has to be fundamentally a top priority. It can't be an afterthought. It needs constant attention and evolution.
Definitely. Which leaves us with a final thought for you to chew on. When you consider the huge scale here, nearly 750,000 people, and those really concerning timelines we discussed, what does this whole incident reveal about the true cost of cybersecurity versus, you know, the perceived cost or the budget line item? Especially when it hits so close to home, impacting hundreds of thousands of lives and their most private medical data. What really stands out to you most about those delays in detection and notification? And maybe, how should incidents like this shape your own expectations for how your data is protected?